WGN 1340. Go Vols!
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Wednesday, rainy Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Inclement weather in the area, dangerous storms moving through East Tennessee today and tonight. Batten down the hatches, ladies and gentlemen. So we're one Knox SC has postponed their game today due to the weather already.
Probably the smart move. It's looking a little frisky this evening.
Frisky out there.
Oh. Frisky? I was going to say chancy. Weather looks kind of dicey.
Well, wherever you are, East Tennessee, be safe. Dodge those storms here this afternoon and this evening. Big show lined up this afternoon, the CGP. Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, coming up to help us get things kick-started here in just a matter of moments. And in hour number three of the program, we will be joined by one Tony Vitello, head baseball coach of your number one ranked Tennessee Volunteers. Now, I was otherwise engaged last night, did not get to watch the, shall we say, closer than expected, closer than wanted.
Whatever happened there?
Tennessee
last night,
baseball game. I'm at an event with the wife and kids, and I know things are going poorly because my phone keeps vibrating in my pocket. And I could tell they were angry vibrations. I could sense a disturbance in the force.
Not good vibrations.
I could feel the WTFs.
You were picking up bad vibrations.
Yes.
So what happened to I talked a big game about the Phillips kid several times on air now. How do you
do we have a bad start?
Did you not see that?
I didn't watch it, and all I know is Dreiling hit a three-run homer, and Kirby had kind of a rough landing at the end.
Out of how many pitches did Phillips throw?
20.
How many strikes did he throw?
6.
He walked the first three and hit the fourth.
Just a bit outside.
Do we need to get him some glasses?
Okay, could be.
So he had some control issues is what you're telling me.
That's what I'm telling you.
I think it may have been Shump or is one of the RTI guys, I think, tweeted out that he was having command issues.
Evidently.
Shump was up there in the press box down in hot dogs last night.
Thank you, Tucker. That's
dynamite drop.
No, so you missed this.
The kind of color we depend on you for.
No, Shump did a 5 hot dogs by the 7th inning stretch challenge. He won, and then he lost.
Oh, great. Oh, okay. So Ryan Shumpert was gambling in the press conference. This is our big takeaway.
Press box.
The RTI, our guest from yesterday, ate 5 hot dogs and puked his brains out later.
After collecting the winnings. Apparently the press box bet him $100. He couldn't do it. He did, like a man. But then
5 hot dogs?
Wasn't it 5?
Yeah.
I feel like there's at least 5, if not 6 guys at work at this radio station that could just absolutely destroy it, a half a dozen.
But you're just not factoring in Shumpert, and he's not as built for this as some of us are.
Okay.
Oh my God.
All right, so I'll ask the obvious question. Did he make it out of the stadium? Was it during the game? What was the aftermath?
He made it to the bathroom.
He didn't hark all over Wilson's computer?
No.
This is a really good environment and professional atmosphere that Tony Vitello's baseball program is. I'm going to have to talk with my guy Sean Barrows, the SID, and perhaps Tony here. I mean, I realize that's the ballpark and it's all fun and games, and it's Queens University, it's midweek, whatever. But, guys, what are we doing here? Come on. What are we doing here? We're having competitive eating contests
in the press box
during a game in a working press environment. Okay. Okay. I mean, leave it to the drive to have to step in and be like, gentlemen, please, a little decorum.
Just a modicum.
The fun police? It's a baseball game. Okay, he's eating hot dogs.
The dude was –
That's
was,
an American privilege right there.
He soaked – apparently how he choked down the last – he kept dunking it in Dr. Pepper. Is that true?
I oh did my see God. That.
Is it the guy?
What's wrong with this kid?
They're stale hot dogs and on stale buns. He's got to do something about
it. I will say those hot dogs – and it's weird because we didn't have a weekend series. They looked leftover, and that means they might have been from last Tuesday.
Oh, no.
They looked like an old pair of shoes.
How did they make the hot dogs up there, Harlan? Are they fresh? Are these like gas station roller dogs? Are we microwaving them? What's up?
I think they're concession stand dogs.
You get them in a box.
So what do they?
Mine were hot,
those
fresh,
grilled,
and delicious when we went to that game, Russ.
Well, they throw them in a whole pan over there on the side.
Oh, they're the
like
water dogs. They put them in the water. They boil them?
No. They keep them warm in like a chafing dish.
How do they cook them? How do they get them warm?
I would say probably by the look of them, it looks like they were done like on a flat top, like on a griddle.
I don't know, man.
That looks grilled. I mean, that's black.
Let me see.
Black end.
I don't see any grill marks.
That's Shump. Those are the dogs that he ate. I mean, those look pretty good.
They look baked.
Because I've never had a baked hot dog.
I haven't either. I have baked bratwurst. You can actually
bake a brat.
You can do a pretty good brat baked. Because you know those, you have to make sure they're cooked all the way through.
Are you like 350 in the oven?
Yeah, it's like
350,
10 minutes flip, another 10 minutes, they're right as rain. They even brown on the sides.
So you think Shump ate 5 baked hot dogs in the Lindsey Nelson press box last night?
I don't know what the hell he ate.
Does he put mustard on them or anything? What does he do?
I didn't see any condiments.
I didn't either.
Tell me there's no ketchup. Tell me he's not putting ketchup on his hot dog like a 5-year-old.
Oh, wait.
What if he go ketchup and mustard?
He did go ketchup and mustard. Evidence. And he was dipping them in a Dr. Pepper.
That's so gross. That is so gross. What are we doing? What are we doing over there? All right. So we start off with some control issues. And we fall behind against a team we've never played, a team that wasn't even playing D1 baseball until 2 years ago?
Apparently, if Tennessee joined the A Sun and just pitched all the midweek pitchers, it'd be competitive from what we've seen these last 2 weeks.
Not grilled.
That is a horrible-looking hot dog.
they're not that looks terrible. Hey, just for the record, there's nothing wrong with Gouldens and ketchup mixed up all together on a hot dog.
I don't think men put ketchup on hot dogs. That is my policy.
I don't.
I don't always, but every once in a while, yeah, I put ketchup and mustard. Never ketchup alone. That's disgusting.
A little ketchup no ketchup. Little mustard, little relish. A big relish guy.
Not a relish guy. I like the onions occasionally.
Some onions
relish
are good.
Relish is horrible.
You get a Chicago hot dog, they will run you out of town up there if you put that ketchup on a hot dog.
They do allow mustard on
Chicago hot
dogs.
They look like a little too much to me.
I'm not a big hot dog guy, but when in Rome, like Chicago, yeah, they do hot dogs right. It's a lot better than these microwave things that we're giving our kids.
Or Ryan Shumpert.
I think he's got a really good
whatever Ryan Shumpert got.
What's it called?
Still not entirely sure what that was he ate last night.
It's a sad. There's one picture of it outside the bun, and you could tell it's not grilled, and it is a tragic state of affairs. This poor hot dog. And the person who ate it.
And he ate 5 of those, and he's not a big guy.
How much did he win? Is he made now?
I think it was like $100.
Yeah, $100.
Worth it?
Is that worth getting sick?
I mean, it's pretty good. He's still no Lucas Panzeca. Talk about a machine.
What did he consume?
A whole bag of the most god-awful cookies I've anybody's
oh,
ever
those were, yeah, those
North Korean cookies.
I was so excited. I bought those in a CVS, and they were like $5 for a box of cookies, and the box looked – I'm thinking cookies that come in boxes are usually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
That's a good sign, and a picture looked good. I'm thinking these will be good. I'm going to get these. I'll take them to the station, share them with the boys, and I like cardboard doesn't even begin to describe how bad those were.
Sawdust.
They were just awful. Just awful.
Were they, and, air quotes, chocolate chip?
Yes.
And I come in the next day, and Panzeca's sitting there polishing off the last one. Oh, man, these are great, man. Thanks, Russ. These are really good. Oh, I'm like, dude, are you okay?
Do you recall what brand they were?
CVS.
Young guys.
Just a generic one?
Young guys have different dietary habits. I mean, Miller was out there right before the show trying to tell me, he's like, Russ, I played cheese roulette last night. I'm not making this up. This is what he told you.
He told me cheese roulette.
He told you this? Okay. Yeah. So he's been working on this story all day, evidently, trying it out on different fan-run personalities. He tells me that apparently what he likes to do, he has lots of different cheeses.
Which what you got to do?
First of all, I can't even begin to identify with having lots of different cheeses. I think we have some cheese. I'm just not a big cheese guy. We've got American cheese in my house, but he's like, apparently Miller has so many different types of cheese that he can't keep it straight because he ends up taking the cheese out of the wrapper and then just putting it in Ziploc bags. And so he forgets which cheese is which. And so he said, Russ, I'm playing cheese roulette. That's what he calls it. He's just taking all the different cheeses, trying to figure out which is what. And then he's talking about throwing it all into a bowl and melting it and then dipping pizza rolls into it. I'm like, Miller, listen, son, you're not in college anymore. You're
college?
An adult.
You're not
with
12.
You're an adult with a full-time job. You've got relationships. Like, you've got to – it's time to grow up with your palate a little bit here, man. But I suppose, you know, Shump, some of these guys are young. Tucker, you probably have some of these same dietary habits. But eventually you just grow up and – you go to a restaurant and get yourself some real food. Or you, like Houston, you learn how to cook.
So you're the cook in the family.
Mm-hmm. She can do, she does certain things. She does a lot of pastas. They're very good.
Mm. I've had of hers that were good as sweets. She can bake up, whip up some pretty.
Yeah, you brought some of those once.
The football truffles.
Yeah, those were good.
The Buckeyes.
Oh, those were delicious.
Those were good.
Yeah. I ate like that whole Ziploc bag of those things, like half a tray, and went in like diabetic coma.
But here you are.
Yeah.
Coming up, the CGP, Tony Vitello, two of our A-lister guests here this afternoon. Very excited.
You going to ask Tony the tough questions today?
What are the tough questions that need to be asked? I feel like when you're number one and things are kind of cruising, like, I mean, I guess we could hold his feet to the fire about this midweek game.
What's the deal with the midweek?
I mean, you've been pretty outspoken, had constructive criticism. Some might say you were questioning some of his decisions with the lineup earlier in the year.
I mean, it's hard to argue with results, man. I mean, it's weird, you know, the top five guys, I think we would all agree it's set in stone. It's dangerous. And then the bottom of the order is kind of what we're worried about. And then in that game Saturday at Florida, where you bust open and bust loose and run them out of the ballpark,
it was a guy hitting 200 coming into it that busted it wide open, Inslee. In conference.
I don't think he got down to 200 in conference.
Yeah, he was down around. I saw the number. It was like, I want to say maybe 207 in conference.
Inslee, Curley had a big hit. Like the bottom of the order kind of came alive there for Tennessee.
Well, I guess since you didn't see it, they tried the intentional walk last night against one of the first five and
did
poorly.
Well, yeah, they intentionally walked Tears to get to Dreiling. Yep. And he hit the three-run homer.
That was Tre magnifique. It was beautiful.
So you guys think if we like asked him how he feels about Curley's development so far, his freshman year, you think that would impact Brad enough to make him come off his ridiculous take?
We could ask him if they're taught to skip the ball.
Okay. Yeah, I wish I had thought about this ahead of time. We should have pulled some of the audio of Brad just ripping Curley and played it for Vitello. So that Vitello could just go off on Brad and LaFollette.
Oh.
That would have been funny.
Hey, I can make that happen before 5:20.
Do it.
All right. You're running the board next segment.
Okay.
No, that's I think that's a good question, because I heard that happened in a major league game where the catcher was trying to throw out a runner stealing, and he skipped the ball. And the commentator's like, oh, he skipped it on purpose there, just like a shortstop on a long throw or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be fun to get that.
I noticed a play last night. I mean, he scoops it, and he's moving towards first. It's a very easy throw if you wanted to hit him in the glove, but he skipped it. So I
think part of it is, too, we were used to seeing Maui Ahuna.
Well, I think if guys have a propensity to sail it a little bit, maybe they're
you think he might be a sailor?
Could be. And so they say, hey, look, if you're not sure, just throw it in the ground.
Well, I wonder if it gets there sooner if you're throwing it hard and it skips versus – you know, you don't have the arm strength to get it there on the fly without putting some air under it. Because that's always going to be a softer throw, right? So it's like, what gets there? I'm sure they've mathed this out.
Right.
That's a good question. We'll bring that up. Thank you. Chris?
I'll think of some more.
You got time?
Plenty.
Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno. Joins us next. We're going to get his thoughts on whether or not he's embracing the number one and being at the top of the flagpole, or if he prefers to be the hunters instead of the hunted. Also get his thoughts on some of these DraftKings betting lines that have come out. You guys seen this? We got betting lines for 4 or 5 of the Tennessee games this year.
I did.
We'll unpack that for you. When we continue next, you're listening to The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues, Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Oh, we got a tornado watch outside. Let's get a hurricane warning. The Christopher Gabriel Experience begins now. CG, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Well, good afternoon to you. You know, we had a near kerfuffle there. Who was I just talking to on the phone? It wasn't Bear. Who was that?
It's Tucker. We've upgraded our phone screener.
Oh, okay. I didn't recognize Tucker's voice. Now that Tucker's graduating soon, you know, he's gone to a deeper tone, a more mature tone than he had before. But for some reason, when you called me, the phone wasn't ringing right, so then I picked it up. I saw my phone going off, didn't connect, so I called you right back, and I heard, what's your name? And I said, it's CG, and, you know, we connected. But my concern, Russ, my concern going forward is that nobody called me back. So it's almost like, well, we gave CG one shot, and he didn't answer, so now we're done with them. Get rid of the Greek in Los Angeles, California, San Francisco. We don't need anybody from out there. I'm a little hurt.
That's our new policy. You don't answer your guest, you're booked. You don't answer the first time. We're done.
You're out of here.
That's it.
You got one shot, CG.
Do you have time for a 30-second story?
Oh, we got all the time you need, brother.
You know, I'm glad to hear that. And I love the fact that I am a couple hours early teeing up Tony Vitello. A couple of years ago, I was going through the Mountain West, and I was bringing on all the play-by-play guys from the different schools. And the one that we didn't really care about was Hawaii. Great place to go, but nobody really cared. And the guy gave us the time that he was good for, which was 3:20, ironically enough, this time. And when we called him, he told my producer, hey, I'm really sorry. I got some other things going on right now. Like, oh, okay. All right, well, sorry, you picked this time, but okay. Dude calls back 2 hours later, says to my producer, I'm ready now. I'm ready to go on now. Now, I'm not like this normally on the air, but I told him, bring him on. Bring him on. And brought him on, and I said to him, hey, man, good to have you aboard. You weren't able to connect with us 2 hours earlier. He goes, yeah, I had some other things going on. I said, you know what, funny thing? I got some other things going on right now, but thanks for calling. Yeah,
wow.
You don't mess with it. You do not mess with the CGP, just like you do not mess with the Drive 3-6.
Absolutely not.
Heck no.
Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, our guest here this afternoon. Yeah, we're having Tony Vitello coming up in hour number three this afternoon. The newly minted number one Tennessee Volunteers. And, you know, CG, baseball is such a superstitious sport, and I'm sure we've all heard the numbers right now, the number one overall seed. And there is a difference between being number one and the number one overall seed. All this remains to be seen. You got 2 weeks in the regular season to play here, plus conference tournaments. But there are some out there that said, oh, number one overall seed has not won the College World Series in something like over 20 years now. You don't want that mojo. We had it in number in 2022. We all remember what happened there. Notre Dame comes in here and wins in the Super Regionals. Do you embrace the number one ranking if you're Tony Vitello? Or are you sort of hoping that you're at least not that number one overall seed and somebody else has to deal with that bad mojo?
Embrace it. Embrace it every day that you can embrace it. And a couple of reasons why. I've seen a lot of the Vols fans. So have you. You probably had some callers today. And by the way, hello to the great folks in East Tennessee and beyond. Always great to be on with Russ and talking to all of you. I've seen a lot of the Vols fans saying that I don't want to be number one. I don't later for that. Okay, tell me. You know, I'm old enough to remember the Steve Spurrier teams from the '90s, and Steve Spurrier didn't want to be known as the tough, gritty little Gators. He wanted to be number one. If he could be number one every week of every season and then be feared, not only in the swamp, but feared when they came to town, that's how they wanted it. This is what I want for Tony Vitello and Tennessee baseball. Quite frankly, this is what I want for every damn team that wears the orange and white, and in the case of the Lady Vols, some blue as well. I want this team to embrace number one, be a team that is expecting greatness and that embraces greatness and that owns greatness. I know the stats of the number ones overall. You know, just later for that. Just forget about that. I mean, what's the converse here, Russ? What is the converse? Is it, you know what, we're number one now. We better go to Vandy and lose 2 out of 3. That way we won't be number one, and then we've got a better shot in Omaha. How the hell does that make sense? That just doesn't make sense. This is a team that I like this team, and we'll talk about this, I believe. I like this team for a couple of different reasons, more than 2022, and I loved that team. But I like this team. Well, let's talk about it now. This team has a way about them that when they go on the field, they are about taking care of business. Now, did I like the some of the taunting and all that stuff? That was fun. But I think at times that got in the way of this team, you know, and at the most important moment, did that affect them in that Notre Dame game, with, you know, losing that, knocking it home out? Maybe. But what I like about this team is that they are number one, and I think they're going to be acting on the field and their overall demeanor no different at number one than they were when they, you know, when they were playing Texas Tech back in February, Oklahoma, Baylor, and so on. They have an expectation. This team looks like they expect to win. When they jack a homer, they're going around the bases. You know, at home, they'll kind of point out to left field. You know, but there's just nothing more than the little celebration at home plate. You know, the jump off, the arm. I like that quality about this team. They remind me a lot of UConn in basketball. I'm not equating the team's strength. It would take too long to kind of break that down. But when UConn this year, when they went out to play, and we all watched them, they just went out expecting to win, taking care of business. They didn't have any problems helping another guy up on the court. They knew they were going to pound you at every position. That's what this team can do. And so I like this team a lot, and I like the fact that they're number one. And I, you know, if they don't want to embrace number one, Russ, if fans don't want to embrace it, then yeah, okay, let's hope to go in to Nashville, and maybe we'll get swept. Maybe we'll get knocked down to number four, number five, and that'll make everybody feel a little better. What the hell with that?
I don't think that's what people want. We want our cake and be able to eat it too. We want to have the great team. We want to win all the games, but not have any sort of bad mojo.
The good news is the latest projection from D1 has us number one in the country, but the number three overall number one seed.
Maybe that's the best of both worlds.
Eating it.
Oh,
boom.
Thank the good Lord. Yeah. You know what? No, I get what you're saying. And I'm embellishing a little bit. But I guess the deeper point that I'm making, fellas, is that we have all had varying degrees and varying medication for battered vowel syndrome. Let's just all own that. Let's just all admit it. You know it. I know. We you hear it a lot after losses. You hear it after wins. Hell, they could win a national championship, and someone's going to be like, well, you know, we didn't win by enough. We didn't win by enough out there. I think there is this attitude that has become pervasive among Vols fans, and I know I've been guilty of it at times, that the more good that is thrust upon us, the more concerned we get, because surely that's going to go out the window. It's now going to screw us up. And I'm saying it's time that we change that. We change it in football, in men's basketball, with Coach Caldwell. We change it there. We get back to what we thought about volleyball, soccer, baseball. We start expecting teams to be number one. I want Tennessee teams to be feared, Russ, Houston, Tucker, and whoever else is in the beautiful new studio. By the way, gorgeous job there. I want Tennessee teams to be feared, and yet I want our teams to go out there with what I said a moment ago, expecting to win, because there's so much talent on this Tennessee team. I mean, does our pitching leave a little bit to be desired at times? Yeah, I think it does. But you know what? They're 40-9 right now. They have only lost back-to-back games one time this year, and that was at Alabama. And quite frankly, they shouldn't have lost that second game because they were swinging at balls that looked like ferrets, you know, crawling up to the plate. They were swinging at everything. So, yeah, if we could be the number one team in the rankings and the number one overall seed, I'd be fine with that. But, yeah, Houston, yeah, I think I'm ready to go light a candle at my church. Being a number three overall, yeah, that's probably better. That'll make us all happy.
Just not swinging at bad pitches is such a big part of college baseball.
Oh,
yes.
God, yeah.
I heard an interview with Blake Burke where they were asking him, you know, what the difference is between last year and this year. And that's what he said. It was just not swinging at balls. And it's because we still have guys that chase and you know, I realize when you're number one, we're just nitpicking with any flaws or anything like that. But it's, you know, it's swing mechanics. He's keeping his head down. Oh, it's foot placement, all this. It's not swinging at bad pitches. It's just half the battle is owning that strike zone.
Well, you're so right, Russ. And I mean, look, if we put ourselves in the shoes of other teams, they understand the kind of lineup that they're facing. I mean, everybody in this lineup, in one sense or another, is a threat. I mean, you never know at any given moment if this team's going to, have an 11-run inning. I mean, that's just the way they are. And I think that's something that Tony V and his staff need to keep impressing upon the guys, and that is that these guys don't want to pitch to you, not the way they might pitch to somebody else, another team. And so the Vols should have the luxury of looking for the pitch they want and waiting for that pitch and then going for that pitch. A little more patience. This team, if they are swinging much less often at bad pitches, but if they take that a little further, Russ, this team is going to be almost impossible to beat in the postseason. Yeah, I said it. Mm-hmm.
Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno with us this afternoon on the show. CG, comparing this team to last year's team, I was saying on the air yesterday, it feels like I'm being a negative Nancy here. I don't think I am. Obviously, our team is very good this year, but I don't feel like they're as good as they were the past couple of years. I feel like the pitching is not as good as last year. I feel like the hitting is not as good as 2022 when you had Beck Gilbert, all those guys. But I don't know. Is it possible that you're getting the best of both worlds and that that somehow, some way, even without all the personalities, even without some of the top-line pro picks that we've had here through the last couple of years, that this team could actually be better and the one that is most capable of making a run in Omaha?
Oh, I don't think that you can overstate what you just said, because if we look at Major League Baseball, if we look at teams that have won the World Series, I mean, you could look at the NBA playoffs, for heaven's sake. Pretty much any level of any sport, how many times have we watched the team that won the championship, not always, but how many times have we watched the team that ultimately won the championship that you'll hear analysts talking about them saying, they're not as good as the team in 17 They don't have as much pitching, or they don't have as much hitting. But they're just better. They have gelled together better. They are a more complete team by the way they comport themselves on the field, in the dugout, the way they see pitches, the way they handle situations. And I think there's any number of cases that that's true. I mentioned UConn earlier. I don't think anybody would argue that UConn was by far and away the best team in college basketball this year. But we have seen examples, in particular in college basketball, of teams that were not the best overall team to win it all. I would agree to you, with you, largely agree with you, that this team, maybe in overall talent, isn't quite as good as the last 2 years. But what I said a minute ago, I think we can say it again, and that is that this team has a demeanor about them that they don't panic. And not saying that the last couple of years the team panicked, but I get a greater sense of belief in themselves and what they're capable of just by watching how they handle when they've been behind. And they haven't been behind often, but they find a way to do it. They find a way to rise up and to, you know, to string hits together or to string dingers together. Pitching, not always the best, but guys are making the plays that they have to make. And I think what happens with college, especially with college baseball, is that when you have enough guys who believe in themselves, believe in the guy to his left or to his right, in front of him or behind him, when they believe that that guy is going to do his job, there is the expectation, the bar of expectations raises for everybody, and nobody wants to bring the ship down. And I think that really is what this team has a little more, Russ, than the last couple of years, and that's why I believe a deep run this year really is possible. If there's a concern that I've had about this team, it's been, and this kind of went away at least for a game the other day in that big 11-run inning, is what happens when they're not hitting the ball out of the yard? Are they able to string together enough base hits? Are they able to be patient enough at the plate to manufacture that run, to manufacture a 2 or 3 run inning? And I think they are able to do that. They just haven't had to do that much. So, devil's advocate, Russ, that would be my one biggest concern about this team as they get ready to get into postseason play, both in Hoover and then the regional, and hopefully a super regional in Knoxville.
Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, our guest here this afternoon. CG, your thoughts on some of the betting lines that came out from DraftKings for five Tennessee games. Yesterday, they've got the Vols as a 5.5-point favorite against NC State in Charlotte, a 5-point underdog at Oklahoma, 11-point favorites against Florida, 3-point underdogs against Alabama, and 18-point underdogs against Georgia. What jumps out at you there?
Well, the first thing that jumps out at me is the double-digit favorite status against Florida. I know it's in Knoxville, but I do get a little concerned about that. But the Oklahoma game is what jumps out at me. I saw Athlon's preseason guide, and they might as well just call it the way, way, way too early AP, or not AP, but top 25. And they've got Tennessee 13th and Oklahoma 16th. And I think all of those lines you just gave, from the 5 or 5.5, whatever it was, against NC State, right down to the 18 with 18-point underdog against Georgia. I think there's an element here, Russ, of folks saying, "What do we have in this Tennessee team? You know, they lost a couple of guys here, a couple of guys there. What do we have? How great can Nico Iamaleava be? I think I got his name right on the first shot.
Nailed it.
Did I get it? Okay. Now that I got that out of the way, it's Nico. I think, you know, he was really good in the Iowa game. He didn't make bad mistakes. He probably stayed in the pocket a little bit too long. That was supposed to be one of the great defenses, you know, in the history of sports that the Vols were playing. And clearly that was just not the case. It was just the good folks in Iowa, you know, getting in the fields and what have you. And we, you know, pounded them. But I do think, in all seriousness, I think there is an element of what do we have in this Tennessee team? Are they really going to be that good? Because they've got this team has got a receiver room that looks like they could be unbelievable. I mean, they've got size, speed, Is elusivity a word? I'm going to make it one if it isn't.
Sure, why not?
They've got a lot. Yeah. Nico is incredibly talented. He seems like the kind of guy that's going to come in now that he's been practicing since the Orange Bowl a couple of years ago. He knows the system backwards and forwards. The guys have confidence in him. He's putting in the extra work. He's going to come in. We've already seen some pictures of him. He's already put on more muscle. He's going to have more come late August, early September when they get ready to play NC State. I think those lines are going to change dramatically based upon what, and this is not breaking news for heaven's sake, what they do against NC State. I would not be surprised if the Vols absolutely hammer NC State and everybody takes a step back and says, whoa, what do we have here? What do we have here? I know that some of the problems that we could be looking at, you know, how is the secondary going to shape up? You know, how are we going to look at the line of scrimmage? How much protection is Nico going to have? What kind of production are we going to get at running back, you know, considering the injury situation? There's a lot of ifs, and a lot of teams, save for maybe Georgia, a lot of teams have far fewer ifs than Tennessee, but I think that first game or so, that first game is going to tell us a lot, and I am not prepared at all to put the Vols as a 5.5-point underdog against Oklahoma. Right now, the game's in Oklahoma. If you've been to a game there, I have. It's a great place to see a game. It is by no means an intimidating stadium. The noise travels out of that place. They get noise, but going into Oklahoma is not like going into Neyland, the Swamp, LSU, and so on. Doesn't make the game any easier from that standpoint, but I do think that if you're going to open on the road, in terms of Nico's first big, legitimate, true road game, better there than going to LSU, going to the Swamp, going to Bama, and so on. So I think those numbers are going to change. I'm not surprised, but I'll add one more thing to this, Russ. I do think there's also a wait and see with Tennessee, because how many times over the last decade, going back to Butch Jones, I hate to say his name, but going back to some of those teams, and there was this thought that this team's going to be great, and they got pumped up in preseason, and they weren't. You know, they fell on their face in the usual places against the usual teams. So I do think there's a little bit of a wait-and-see attitude overall to see, all right, we think that Tennessee is going to be pretty good, but I want to wait and see before I start throwing bouquets at them. And I think it's up to the Vols, it's up to this team to go out and say, y'all think that we're – wait, I snuck in a y'all there. Did you notice that? Do you think that we're only 5.5-point favorites against NC? Well, we're going to show you. You think that we're an underdog against Oklahoma? We're going to show you. And really, I think that's the kind of thing – that's going to be in the Vols' hands, how they take care of business or don't take care of business when the fall starts.
It's just still so odd to me that is now a conference game. I was just looking at their schedules, like who else do they play? They open with Temple, Houston, Tulane, and then Tennessee, and then the next week they go to Auburn. And my mind immediately, what, they're playing Tennessee and Auburn back to back? Why? Wow, what an out of conference schedule! Oh,
they're so tough.
Yeah.
Bold.
You know, until you just said that, man, I completely forgot that Oklahoma is a conference game.
Yeah.
That is going to take some getting used to. I was hearing a guy on ESPN the other day talking about how the Big Ten's going to shape up, and suddenly Oregon enters the conversation. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? Oh,
so weird.
That's right. Oregon's in the Big Ten now.
Hey, CG, last thing, we'll let you out of here. As our favorite resident or former resident Chicagoan here on the show, we were having a hot dog debate. I know we've asked you about this before, but we had a colleague, Ryan Schumpert of Rocky Top Insider, who made himself sick in the Lindsey Nelson press box last night by eating 5 of the worst looking hot dogs you could ever possibly imagine seeing, and evidently paid the price for it as well up there. Your position, ketchup on hot dogs, yay or nay?
You know, the fact that you would even ask that question is disturbing. I thought you and I are good friends, very good friends. I've come in, I've met your family. Are you nuts? There's no ketchup on hot dogs. There's no ketchup on hot dogs. In Chicago, you start with mustard, chopped onions, and the key ingredient on a Chicago dog, celery salt. A little celery salt. That is the key. And then if you like, you add sport peppers. You add green relish and so on. But what you don't do, Russ, you do not add ketchup. When you go to a hot dog stand in downtown Chicago, now I feel like I have to say Chicago. Because I'm talking about a Chicago hot dog.
Yeah.
You go to the stand, you say, give me a dog. Yeah, give me the sport peppers. I want everything. Hey, I want ketchup. The guy's going to look at you like, what the hell's wrong with you? Get out of here. Are you from Tennessee? Get out of here. That's, you know, no ketchup. There, you know, one of your listeners, she always puts a picture of herself up at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Her and her fiance go, and she always has a picture of the hot dog that she gets with mustard and ketchup on it.
Ugh.
I'm going to slap that thing out of her hand.
Oh, easy now.
He said slap the dog out of her hand, not slap her. I want to clarify.
Not slap her. Oh, no, she's a sweetheart. Not her. Oh, for heaven's sake, Russ. Not her. The hot dog.
The hot dog, too. I mean, she paid for Ed's violent. I'm with you, CG. My kids will put ketchup on there. I tried to discourage.
Probably anything, really.
I tried to discourage. Yeah, they'll put ketchup on anything. I tried to discourage it, but.
You know, when I started doing it, I'll admit it, I'm a ketchup and Gouldens mustard guy, but I had to start doing it at UT Stadium back when they went to the, whatever the hell it was they went to in the late 80s, early 90s, it started coming in that foil bag. And you anything they put in that, it came to you with one ketchup and one Gouldens mustard.
I remember.
And you would coat it with that. In hopes of making it halfway edible, because those hot dogs are terrible.
I'll leave you with this. Had a barbecue last year and did bratwurst and Philly cheesesteaks and all kinds of stuff, and did hot dogs as well. And one of the people that I work with asked me for mayo, and I looked at him. And I just looked him in the eye and went, "Get out."
The devil's condiment.
Get out. Yeah. Well, who the hell puts mayo on a hot dog, for heaven's sake?
It's an outrage.
That's disgusting.
Awful. I obviously, I need to talk to your kids about the ketchup thing. I need to. Uncle Christopher needs to have a long to RCG, just a long talk with the kids and explain how that works.
And intervention is needed. I wholeheartedly concur. CG, we got to run, my friend. Always a pleasure. Check him out, KMJ Fresno Mornings at CG Program on the Twitter machine. Christopher, thanks so much.
My pleasure, boys. Love you guys.
Love you too, brother.
Love you too, bud.
Christopher Gabriel making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. A lot to unpack there. Got to take a quick time out. Stay with us. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Yeah, batting down the hatches, man. It'll be a wild one here tonight in East Tennessee.
It looks like about 8:30, 8:45 until 4 a.m. Be safe.
That's when...
So I've got a tree right now in my front yard that.
Oh, is she flirting with it?
It should have come down.
Good stiff breeze might take it down.
No, but it's a silver maple, and those are probably you don't ever want a silver maple in your front yard anywhere near your house.
Why not?
Aren't those things supposed to be pretty flimsy?
They're not flimsy. I mean, it's maple, but they grow incredibly fast and they outgrow their root system.
Oh.
So they don't have...
They get top-heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That does not sound good.
High-centered, Tucker.
I understand we just sold another shirt. People always asking, when are you going to have more fan-run gear, more T-shirts? We've got a couple of drive-specific T-shirts, too, available at fanrunradio.com now. So hop online, buy some merch. We have some... are we giving out the promo codes, too?
Yes.
Do you have those? Just winging it here with the drive. I could pull them up for you. I got this. Yeah, we're gonna.
I got them too.
I got them. All right.
Is it promo code DRIVE1?
No. Let's see here.
Well, they're different ones. So for the 37 Club.
They have a private. The 37 Club has a private.
No, so we can't give that out.
No. Not unless you're
almost
in the
did it.
I know. That's what I was afraid of. I got to get there before Russ to make sure we don't do that. But then there is the new merch launch code that'll get you 15% off, and that code is
Fan Run for the Win. Number 4.
Yes, Fan Run
for
the Win. And then for free shipping over on a $50 order or more, all you got to do is type in all one word free shipping. Is the promo code for free shipping. Orders over $50. New merch launch again, Fan Run number 4.
We'll tweet this out.
The Win.
We'll tweet this stuff out, and go check out the shop. Now, we got a couple of cool shirts there, a couple of cool hats, some rope hats. The Morning Show has a shirt. There is also, and I'm not sure how I feel about this, a tank top.
I saw the tank top.
A Fan Run Radio tank top.
All right.
that you can buy?
I've been wanting to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
No, Bear, you can't pull off the tank top.
I'm not.
Sorry.
I wait to see scars.
I love you, but
I'm not tank top guy, but me and
sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I may be the oldest ride in the park, Russell, but I still got the longest line. That's why the ladies call me Space Mountain. Woo!
Okay, nature boy. Is your question who here in the office is tank top guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
Reed?
No. Middle time.
What you got to do is get your tank top on.
It's the GI tank.
Get you some unsalted call it. Butter.
Slap it on your forehead.
Hard.
You can rock that. I could see you in the fan run tank out on the lake getting a little
man
sun.
Lay on the lake, yeah.
I think I've got a picture
wear it
of
to
you.
Work.
Here's the thing. I think I've got a picture of Cress in a tank.
That's weird.
I think your wife sent it to me. There's a monkey sitting on your head.
It wasn't a tank.
That wasn't a tank?
No. But there is a picture of a monkey sitting on my head. That was a fun little trip. That was a good time.
Yeah, your honeymoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a little monkey adventure.
Little monkey
yeah, around. We remember we were
snowed
under 3 feet of snow.
Up to our
yeah.
asses in snow and like sub-zero temps and burst pipes. But, yeah, let's talk about your first vacation.
It was
hot.
Well, it was warm out there.
Let's talk about Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno. Bear, what did you learn?
He is intense about the Chicago hot dog deal and the whole celery salt thing.
Have you had one with celery salt? It does make it's good. It makes a big difference. Like, that's a thing.
Like, I like the celery salt. It's all that other garbage they put on there.
Yeah, the Chicago dog he mentioned wasn't the one I had. I had the one that has, like, the pickle, the peppers, the two tomatoes.
Yeah, I'm not eating that.
It's good.
It's a hot dog. I don't need a
salad with it?
Yeah.
We went to a chain of them, in Chicago, Portillo's.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they have like we went there. We got the hot dog and then the
Italian beef sandwich. You
got
to get the Italian.
Which
beef
I thought the
Portillo's.
Italian. Well, and I'm not a huge hot dog guy, but we ended up going back there because the Italian beef was so good.
So good.
I had to get another one of those.
Yeah, I mean, you went to the place to go get a Italian beef.
God, that was good.
I could destroy one right now. Seriously. Just absolutely. It's so messy though.
Oh, it's worth it though. So
face
worth
all
it.
Covered in juice.
Smoking hot question of the day. Should ketchup on hot dogs be a crime punishable by death?
No. What do you mean? You'd have to qualify age.
We'll back it up. Should ketchup belong on hot dogs? How about that? We'll take the death part out. I don't want people to get offended.
I don't personally put ketchup on my hot dog, but if someone else does, I'm not, you know, that's not a deal breaker.
I stopped from the time I was a kid. I swear to God, and what triggered me putting it back on there was those god-awful hot dogs at Neyland Stadium for that period of time.
The ones in the foil?
Dude.
I remember going in the 90s thinking they were pretty good.
How old were you?
I mean, it was like, you know, 8.
Yeah.
Okay. Had to have the Goldens, though. If they didn't have the pack of Goldens in the wrapper, you had to go
Gouldens?
Back up and get one. No, it's not Goldens. It's Goldens.
No, it's Goldens.
Unless you guys fight this out during the break. Stay with us. Hour number 2 of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.